Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible teaching church in Katy, Texas. If you are in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing it with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message, and God bless your week.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy New Year! It's not January 1st, but it is the start of the Christian church year. That's why my stole today is blue. That's why the banners are blue and to come. Advent means coming. And as we are getting ready with the season of Advent this year over the next month, we are waiting, of course, for our King to come at Christmas. And we can't help but think about Jesus coming at Christmas without also thinking about Jesus coming on Judgment Day. Our hearts burn with joy for both. This isn't the only time in history when Christians were really looking forward to Jesus coming. Also, back in 700 BC, in Isaiah's day, they were looking forward to Jesus coming. It was not easy to be a believer in Isaiah's day, much as it is not easy to be a believer now. You see, back in Isaiah's time, there were all kinds of problems from within. People were supposed to be Jews, studying the Old Testament scriptures, looking forward to Jesus coming one day to save them as the Messiah. But instead, people were Jews. They might even wave their hand and say, "Yep, I read the Old Testament. I know it very well." But they did not care at all about Jesus coming one day as Messiah. They thought the Messiah would be an earthly hero to bring them money and power. They lived reckless and godless, unrepentant, sinful lives. There were a lot of problems from within. There were also problems from the outside. The nation of Assyria was a growing power. They had already torpedoed many of the countries in their wake. They had taken down the northern kingdom of Israel, and they were threatening Isaiah's area, the kingdom of Judah. It was not easy to be a believer in Jesus, in Isaiah's day, looking for Jesus to come. And so Isaiah, as he was preaching to his people, gave an earnest, heartfelt prayer. "Lord, I wish you would just rip open the heavens and come down." We know what he's talking about. We get it. We might feel the same way right now as we're getting started with the season of Advent, don't we? If only the Lord would just rip open the heavens and come down. And the big thought to remember today is, as the Lord rips open the heavens and comes, we are to repent and depend. Depend on the Lord for everything. We begin with the first verse of Isaiah chapter 64. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, we are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. Isaiah wanted the Lord to rip open the heavens and come down to cause all kinds of activity. The people, both on the inside and on the outside, seemed so secure and comfortable in their sin. Isaiah wanted them to be shaken loose. He said, rip the heavens and come down so that the mountains tremble before you. Just like twigs start a fire and water causes to boil and the water shakes all around as it's boiling, Lord, come down and make these nations shake around like water boiling before you. Make the mountains tremble and quake. And yet, there's something really insightful to notice. Isaiah, you might have expected, with everything going on and with the way his heart was so intense, you might have expected him to say, all of them have become like one who is unclean. All of their righteous acts are like filthy eggs. They all shrivel up like a leaf. Like the wind, their sins sweep them away. Come on, Lord, rip open the heavens and come down to teach them a lesson. But you didn't hear that, did you? In verses 6 and 7. Isaiah is not saying all those other sinful people out there have big problems and God needs to come down to teach them a lesson, but not me. And not those of us who profess Christ for real. No, he said, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All our acts, righteous acts, are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You've seen the wind sweep away a dried, dead leaf fallen from a tree? That is us before God because of our sins when we are unclean. Let's talk a little bit about that word, unclean. In the Hebrew, it is the word tameh. And the last thing anybody who lived in Isaiah's day, a Jewish person, would have wanted was to be called tameh, or unclean. You would be tameh if you touched a dead person. You would be tameh if you handled blood or an unclean food like pork that was unclean to them. You were tameh if you had a disease, especially if it was a disease like leprosy. In fact, leprosy was a disease that was incurable. A miracle needed to happen from the outside if that was ever going to change. And so lepers lived apart from everybody else in a leper colony, all by themselves. And if anybody got near, they would say and shout, "Tameh! Tameh! Tameh!" to make sure nobody would get close to them. How rough to be someone who was tameh. How rough to be a leper. They were thoroughly infected with an incurable problem. They were shunned and loathed. There was nothing they could do to change it. They needed a miracle from someplace else if anything was going to get better. And That situation of tame is us before God with our sins. Any one sin that you have done or said or thought, any one, could cause God to rip open the heavens and come down and bring judgment. Any one sin causes us to be tame and apart from God for eternity. Kind of like the lepers of long ago, we are thoroughly infected with an incurable problem. It's called sin. We are shunned by God as long as we carry this condition with us. We can do nothing to change it, and we need a miracle from someplace else if anything is going to get better. Just think of that. God would come near, and we would have to shout, "Tame, Tame, Tame! God, you're holy, I'm not!" As if he didn't already know that. Do you still want God to rip open the heavens and come down? The answer is yes, when you know why Jesus came. It is astounding. It's really the purpose of the whole season of Advent, isn't it? As well as Christmas and Epiphany and Lent and Easter and the whole church year, every time we open the Scriptures, we are drawn to the love of Christ, which came to bring his holiness to the world, to help people who were so tame, so unclean. But Jesus came for people just like us. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not for those who are perfect, though nobody is, but I have come for sinners, people just like you. People just like me, with all of our tame, with all of our filth, with all of our rebellion, with all of our insistence that we think we're in control and we don't depend on God." Jesus came, knowing all of that, and he ripped open the heavens and he came down as a baby. A baby. So tender, so gentle, so approachable, such a wonderful Savior for us. So that we, when we listen to him, when we trust in him, when we understand why he came, we are no longer tame. But instead, we are as holy as God is holy. Yes, his forgiveness is that thorough. His forgiveness penetrates that deeply. That we in Christ are as holy as God is holy. We are heirs of all that is his. We have an eternal home in heaven that is waiting. The devil has no power over us now or ever. We rejoice that Jesus came as a baby to live and die and rise to destroy the devil's work and to win us for eternal salvation. That's really what Isaiah was getting at in verse 8, "You, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." How can we manage to not just survive, but thrive right now? How can we always cling to light and truth, even when times are dark and dreary? How can we look to the future and have any hope at all of things getting better or changing? It's because we are the clay. He is the potter. We are all the work of his hand. We are no longer Tame in his eyes. And that means we can move forward, and whether the COVID cases are rising or falling, whether things are intensifying or pulling back and relaxing, we can show love to those around us, and we can show love to our Father who made us. We are the work of his hand. This means that as we look to the future, we can rejoice in repentance. Yes, we can rejoice as we admit sin fully, are sorry for it, know Jesus has forgiven it, and are ready to change our sinful ways. We can rejoice in repenting and then depending on God, not just for some things, not just for most things, but for absolutely everything. There is joy when we can say, I'm not in control, but I know who is. And I'm waiting for him to come at Christmas, also waiting for him to come on Judgment Day. Here's an illustration to share to help you think about repenting and depending and all of the peace and joy that comes from that heart. There was an older woman who went to the grocery store, and she did this often, once every couple of weeks, and she picked up a bag, maybe two at the most, of groceries, and then walked home. This particular time, though, when she walked to the grocery store, she had a lot more on her list than she thought, and she filled up a whole cart full of groceries, several bags, some of them even kind of heavy. She paid for her groceries, and then the checkout person, the bagger, helped her get her groceries outside, and then it dawned on her, how am I going to get all this home? And as she was just starting to wonder what she was going to do, somebody pulled up in a limousine, a nice big car, and said, ma'am, I saw you struggling, and I have decided I have some time. I'm going to help you get your groceries home. So put all of your stuff in the car. I'll help you, especially with the heavy ones. You just get in the side, in the back seat, and I will take you home. Oh, wow. Thank you. What a gift you are, the woman said as she got into the back seat and watched the driver put all of her groceries back there too. Well, they didn't get very far on the trip when the driver looked in his rearview mirror and saw something very strange. He saw the woman putting the groceries, the heavy ones even, on top of her head. And her neck and her back were hunched over her. Her neck looked like it was going to break. And the man, startled, said, lady, what are you doing? Get your groceries off your head. She said, oh, kind sir, you have been so nice to give me a ride home. I couldn't possibly also ask you to give my groceries a ride home. You see the point, don't you? We depend fully on God to pull us out of the jaws of hell and plant us safely forever in the eternal mansions of heaven. Let's also depend on him for all of the other things too. How are we going to make it through 2020? How are we going to keep thriving in 2021 and beyond? Smaller annoyances or inconveniences that come up in our lives here and there in all kinds of areas. Don't just give lip service. Repent of any form of control you have and depend on God fully to help you in every single area of your life. What a gift that Jesus gives you when he says, no more Tame for you. What a gift Jesus gives you as he says, you are my clay, you are the work of my hand, and I have work for you to do in this world. God bless you as you repent and depend fully, waiting for Jesus to rip open the heavens and come down. Amen.
Time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. Could I ask you for one more favor? If you're enjoying this podcast, please don't forget to click subscribe and give us a rating. Just a few seconds of your time will help other people hear the simple, straightforward Bible message we offer. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.